broadcasting from the shores of Belle Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
World famous Phil Hendry show. Sorry, I had to turn the TV down. Basically, I couldn't get the TV to turn down. Bud, what's up with that?
I don't know. If it was Howard Stern, and it's saying you better get it turned down, you might say a bad word.
Well, I don't worry about that. I'm just we'll get into it later. Okay, I just had to turn the television set down because I couldn't mute it. Anyway, welcome to the program, you guys. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And every night we are here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And indeed it does. We go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. They don't. They wish they could, but they can't. They don't, because they don't want to look like a bunch of chumps. So we just soldier on like that. Also, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, which is our website. And we have live streaming video of our show right now on Phil TV in HD. So if you want to check out how we do the show, how we perform the show, you can do that. You can also get archived material there. You can also find our video rants and our audio rants. You can find our podcast there of The Daily Show without the commercials. You can listen to that. You can sign up for it through iTunes. We have the Ted Bell blog. We have the Bobby Dooley blog. It's all there. And all available with your backstage pass. Now, we do have some visits later on in the show from R.C. Collins. We're going to have Stephen Bozell on the program to comment on the Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars, right, Bud?
Yeah, well, his wife said we're going to try to make him learn.
You've got to get up the microphone, man. Get up to the microphone, Bud.
Yeah, his wife said they got to learn how to do the hustle.
Who is?
Steve Bozell.
Steve Bozell's going to learn how to do the hustle. Okay. On the show?
No, his wife said he can't dance. He don't look near as good as Chaz Bono do.
Yeah, she don't think he look good like Bono.
Chaz Bono, not Bono. It ain't the guy from U2.
U2?
U2. U2, the group, okay?
I don't know. They're old guy group.
Old guy group. Boy, I love that, man. Wow. Time flies. I remember when U2 wasn't the old guy group. The Who was the old guy group. And
Who?
Don't get into that. And now it's U2's the old guy group. Linkin Park's rapidly becoming the old guy group. You know, it doesn't take very long. Anyway, so that's later on in the program. And we also, I think, have a visit from R.C. Collins, David G. Hall. A lot of stuff coming up tonight. A lot of things to talk about tonight. The first thing to talk about, of course, is Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we're going to be rapping about that with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here. 877-876-PHIL. To get your opinion in on this very, very important topic. Don't Ask, Don't Tell has expired as of midnight. So Doug Danger is going to be on with us. Just a very, very brief mention. As long as we were on the topic of the website, I forgot to tell you that the backstage pass, if you purchase a backstage pass that is a subscription to our site before October the 1st, you are a first-generation subscriber to The Phil Hendry Show. And you will get the price that we have charged for our subscription since 1999. For 12 years, we have charged the exact same price. You will be able to take advantage of that price up until October the 1st. All right, our affiliate spotlight tonight in Wichita, Kansas, KQAM, and in Allentown, Pennsylvania, WSAN Radio. Great, great affiliates on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show network. Doug Danger joining us from the Orange County Courier. Doug, a very, very big night, I think, in the history of the United States, in the history of civil liberties in the United States happened. It occurred without any, you know, any bloodletting, without any rancor. It occurred at midnight.
Well, I think it's a very big move, Phil. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, as you know, and as your listeners have known down through the years. I have tried to promote the rights of gay men and lesbians, and I think that it was the right thing to do. I don't know how you can't think it's the right thing. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a logical thing, if you want to get right down to it. The irony is, and you and I were talking, Phil, before you went on the air, I think the irony is, if we ever do get into a shooting war with, for instance, a country like Iran, whose president stood in our country. He stood in our nation, in the largest city in the world, New York City. And I think he was either at the UN or...
Well, you're talking about his address at Columbia?
Yeah, he was at Columbia, that's right. And he stood there and he said, we don't have any homosexuals in Iran. I think it would be the height of irony if we ever do get into a shooting war with Iran that Iran is defeated by an army of gay men and lesbians. And you almost hope for a war with Iran. You know?
Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen because people die in wars. And unless it's a necessary thing, let's hope it doesn't happen.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I'm just saying that with the expiration of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we now have what we've always should have had in the United States. So that's a representative United States military. We draw from all facets, all people in our society. And let's keep in mind, this is the volunteer force. These are people that want to serve this country. These are people that want to take up arms and defend the United States of America. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've been out of the closet for 8 weeks. And in that time, let me tell you what I've seen. The things I've seen in terms of the discrimination of gay people and what I've had to personally put up with. There have been times that I've wanted to, believe me, there have been times I wanted to just tell somebody off, just say, you no good so-and-so, this and that. There have been times I wanted to do worse things, you know. There have been times I wanted to just lash out, you know, and just beat someone silly, you know, just beat someone till they're bloody. But I didn't do that because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm also an American, and I recognize that, but mostly I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a gay American man and a gay American journalist. And I put those together because I think it's important for people to understand what we've come up against and the mountains that we've climbed.
All right, Doug Danger on the line with us here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, expiring at midnight last night. I think the most compelling argument, Doug, that I ever heard in favor of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a number of years ago, someone said, well, if you don't want to have gays in the military, I suppose that's okay if you're willing to go to places like the Vietnam Memorial and scratch off the names of all the gay soldiers that are on it.
Well, that's absolutely right, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and... did you hear that from a gay person, or did you hear that from...
I don't know. I think it was a caller to my show when I was on in Atlanta. And
well, I think as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I remember saying something like that, and it most likely was said by a gay person. And
why do you think most likely a gay person?
Well, I think it's very profound. I think you have to be coming from a very profoundly personal place to say something as intelligent as that. I'm not saying that straight people are not intelligent, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And I have I have very strong feelings about this, and I want to let the American people know tonight that they have nothing to fear. In fact, this is a red letter day for the U.S. military, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Let me tell you why this is a red letter day for the American military. You are now going to have millions of American service people who are looking for a little payback. You know, they want to go out and cause some trouble. And the reason why they want to cause some trouble is because of what I just got done telling you. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. There are a lot of gay men and gay men and gay soldiers. And these are people who want to go out and cause some trouble because they've had their nose in it, and they've been forced to eat the ground, eat the dirt for a long time. And
well, are you telling me there's a lot of gay soldiers that want revenge?
No, not revenge. You know, revenge is to take it out on the person that offended you or the person that hurt you. And there have been so many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that offended me and hurt me and called me all kinds of names because I'm, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that's going to happen. But I'm talking about just the overall feeling that gay people are going to have that, okay, now I've got my freedom. And now I've got the freedom to be a soldier in the United States military. Bring it on. Bring it. You know, because let me tell you something right now. Someone's going to die.
And well, is that a healthy mindset? You know,
what do you mean?
I don't know if that's a healthy mindset. I don't know that I want to have American soldiers. Someone's going to die. You know,
look, Phil, let me explain something to you. You live in Southern California. You live not too far from Camp Pendleton, right?
Camp Pendleton's down the coast.
All right. those Marines come off Camp Pendleton on a weekend. They go into local bars there in Oceanside, just like they do probably off of Parris Island in South Carolina. And they want to get after something, you know. I mean, they want to cause some trouble. So it's not unusual for a soldier to come off the base on a weekend, to go out and have a beer. But I'm telling you, the gay people have had to put up with so much abuse over the years, and have had to put up with so much discrimination over the years, and have had to put up with so much hurt over the years, and insult over the years, and degradation over the years. And they've seen their friends put up with this hurt and this insult and degradation. That now, that they're able to come into I'm saying as a gay man, as a gay journalist, they'd be a gay man, gay soldier, gay man, gay Marine. Now they're able to go out as soldiers and get some payback. You know, cause a little trouble.
Well, you're talking about cause a little trouble. I don't know. I understand. Does it give them an edge? Is that what you're saying?
No, it gives them more than an edge. It makes them a very dangerous, dangerous individual. Okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I've seen this happen.
All right. Well, Doug, what you're saying, and we're talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What you're saying is that gay people have had to endure an awful lot of humiliation, an awful lot of abuse, and that's
absolutely right.
Okay, and that, therefore, the gay soldiers, gay Marines, gay service people of all branches of the military, having also put up with that same abuse, are somehow going to be particularly honed and particularly motivated to go out and take lives.
That is exactly what I'm saying, but you're putting a little bit of a, excuse me for saying this, you're putting some kind of a spin on it that makes it sound sissy or bad. You know, we've had enough people that...
No, I'm not going to say sissy, no.
We've had enough people tell us, oh, you know, back off, take it easy, all this. And,
well, but what I'm hearing is an enthusiasm on your part that is a little disquieting. I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill. I'm going to go out and get some payback. I'm going to go out... You know, right now we're drawing down from two wars. So I don't know what war you're talking about, you know?
What war I'm talking about? We're in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. You're reading the newspapers, right?
You know, we're drawing... I just got done saying, we're drawing down from those two places, okay?
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, they can say all they want about drawing down from those two places. Let me tell you something right now. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been in this news business for a long time. We're going to have troops over there for a long, long time. And we're going to have a lot of occasion and a lot of time for someone to come up, somebody with a camel and a grudge, and they think they somehow are better than us, and the guy's got a camel, and you try to go ahead and go toe-to-toe with an American soldier, especially a gay American soldier who's eaten enough crap, especially from these people that don't think there's homosexuals over there. You watch what happens. There won't be a camel left. There won't be a guy. It'll be like, I saw a photograph once, it was like four, it was two camel legs and a head, that was it.
And what are you talking about?
Well, they brought in an airstrike, and they took out this whole Taliban column, and it was like camel guts. Let me tell you what.
Well, if a guy's calling in an airstrike because he got his feelings hurt as a gay man, I think you've got a little bit of a problem there.
No, you're misunderstanding it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, hold the line here for a minute. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And Doug's saying the gay soldier now is in the military. He is out and proud, and he's ready for some payback, having taken all this abuse over the years, having taken all this crap over the years. America is in good hands because we now have an angry and motivated and finally honed... soldier. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, still at the paper tonight. You guys are doing a little overtime work because of this?
No, not really. I mean, we're I'm here. I got an entertainment column I got to get out. You know, I write an entertainment column. I don't write a column for the news, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as the result of that, I am far more capable of writing a column about what happened last night at midnight, which was the expiration of this Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that now we have gay soldiers who can say they're gay soldiers, and of course we're going to have a higher recruitment of gay soldiers. Who else is going to write about that?
Well, do they need a gay person to write about that?
I think they needed a good gay journal. I think they needed a gay writer. They needed a gay journal. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and for whatever reason, you know, that means that I'm the most qualified. Not necessarily any gay person is qualified, but I can tell you any gay person would be more qualified than a regular gay person, or than a regular person.
And any gay, even a gay person with no journalistic experience.
I think that in the long run, Phil, any gay person is going to be better at writing an article about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even if they have no journalistic experience, because they're coming from a place of actual experience. Okay, and so that's going to be.
Even if they're not a writer,
I think you got to just trust me on this one. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right, I've been to school. I've taken journalism. I'm gay. I'm a man, and this is a topic that, of course, we all know intimately.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and a couple of things we're kicking around here. One of them, the likelihood that with gay soldiers, out gay soldiers in the military, they're going to be looking for, quote, payback, which I found a little disquieting.
Why's that?
Well, the reason why is because I don't know that that's a healthy motivation for a soldier to say, I'm a gay, or I'm black, or I'm Jewish, or I'm anything like that.
No, we're not saying we're Jewish. We're saying I'm gay.
No, I know that, but if you listen, hear me out, from the standpoint of...
No, but you can't identify gay people. See, one of the decisions that we made as gays is that because black people don't want to have anything to do with us, we have to distance ourselves from them.
And what do you mean, one of the decisions you made?
This was a decision that gay men and women have come to. When we try to get support from the black community, and they turn their noses up at us because they didn't think that they could, you know, they didn't want to hang, or they didn't want to identify with a gay man and a gay journalist. And
what do you mean, a gay man? They're not identifying with you.
I'm sorry, but it was just gay people. And they decided they couldn't risk that politically because it gave them a bad image hanging with a bunch of you-know-what, Q-U-E-E. I won't go any further, but it ends with an R and an S, and it spells queers.
And well, you just said what you said you didn't want to go for. All right.
I know that, but I didn't say the F, which is the F word. And here's my point. I can't...
You're saying the gay community somehow took a vote and decided that they are not going to be supportive of black people because the black community didn't support them.
I say we took a vote.
Well, you said something about you got together.
Gay people have recognized for a long time that black people will let us burn. If we were tied in a barn and it was on fire, they'd go ahead and get in the car, wipe their hands off, check their teeth in the mirror, and head home. So we know where it's all about.
Boy, that's a pretty a brazen statement to make.
Well, what do you mean brazen? I mean, that's been obvious for a long time. If gay people were tied up in a burning barn, black folks would say, everybody in the car, get ready to go home. I think it's that casual. And so when you want to group us in with...
All right, in the interest of moving this along, all right, I won't group you in with Jewish people, black people, nothing like... But I'm saying that, do you think that that is a proper motivation for a soldier to say, I'm a gay man, and now I'm a soldier, now I'm going to go out and get the payback?
I didn't hear you, Phil. It sounded like you went... I'm sorry.
I did. I stuttered a little bit. I said, is it the proper motivation for a soldier to say, I'm gay, and now I am free to be in the military, and I can be out gay, and now I'm going to get some payback for the way I was treated?
I don't see how you could avoid it. I don't see how you could. The only thing you can do if you're the military authority is to lasso that, is to harness that and use that. And if I were the military authority in the United States of America, and I had gay people coming into the service of the U.S. military, I would harness how full of blood revenge. Boy, I tell you.
Well, you know, you're too old for the military, Doug, right?
No. Boy, you got a pair on you.
Well, all right. What would be your mindset?
My mindset going into the military would be, show me where the enemy is, because I'm going to kill the hell out of that son of a bitch for all the crap that I put up with.
877-876-PHIL. Is that a good mindset for gay soldiers to have as they enter the U.S. military? The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Man, I'm going to kill the hell out of that guy.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger on the line with us as we talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell going away. And we have soldiers in our military who can profess openly their sexual orientation, will not be punished for that. We're going to get to some phone calls, but you mentioned, Doug, that this is a great opportunity for the military to harness.
I think what you're doing, Phil, is you're leaning a little heavy on the attitude that, you know, I did say that. I did say there's a lot of gay people out there that want to get some payback. I know I would, were I entering the military, I'd want to go out, and I'll be very graphic. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, what I've had to put up with and what I've had to live through in my life, I'd take a bayonet. If you show me the enemy, there won't be anything left of him. I mean, there won't be enough left of that guy to stick in a can. That's how strongly I feel.
And I'm saying, isn't that a little dangerous? Because we need a disciplined military.
You need a disciplined military, but you need a motivated military. And I'll tell you right now, there ain't any man more motivated right now in the United States military than a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Amber. Amber, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Yeah, I just want to say
yes.
That I think that you're stereotyping gays. You're grouping them all into one lump by saying that everybody's out to seek revenge, and that's not the case. A lot of them are just happy to be able to be who they are.
Well, I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't know from what experience you speak, but I can tell you as a gay man, as a gay journalist, the people that I know and who I'm familiar with, to every last one of them, down to the man and woman, wants to go out and rip someone's throat out. You know.
Well, what are these all military people?
There, some are, some aren't. But they've just put up with a lot, you know, Amber. And I understand what you're saying. I don't want to. Phil thinks that I'm speaking of a dangerous thing.
It sounds dangerous to me when you say that you have a lot of people joining the military or who are in the military currently that are looking to commit mayhem. I think we need a disciplined military.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
Absolutely.
But once we are in...
But at the same time, I'm a gay person as well, and I've got a lot of gay friends that are in the military. And
right.
I have to tell you right now, I've talked to a lot of them, and every one of them that I have talked to so far has not had anything angry to say other than, I am just happy that I can be me. So I think you speak
to
a very small group.
But, I mean, Amber, you know, I'm a gay... This is Doug Dang. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay. All right. Tell me true. You, in your life, have had to put up with a lot of mess. I know you have.
Absolutely.
And I have, too. Okay, and I have, too. Are you trying to tell me? Now, you're not in the military. Okay, you're not in the military, but
never,
are you trying to tell me?
Never.
You wouldn't want to go and just, you wouldn't want to take a bayonet to someone's face?
Oh, God.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, I'm not talking about another American. I'm talking about some, no, I shouldn't say it, but some Jap.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say, I was watching a World War II documentary.
The Japanese have been our friends and not only that, our fellow citizens for many, 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 many decades before World War II. That was a hell of a slip up.
Well, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? So I'm a liberal. I'm a card-carrying liberal. I dare anybody to try to take me to task for that. That was a slip up. That was a slip up.
But you're using
a
crutch. You're using
what's
being
that?
Gay as a crutch. That's you're saying that's like saying Because I'm black, I get to go out and do angry things to other people as well. And that's not all gays. I'm not angry. I've been wrong
what about
a lot
that?
Of times in my life. But I tell you what, I would never go out and wrong somebody else just to get my happiness.
You just brought up a really good thing. You said the black soldier in World War II, when they went out and they finally were allowed to go into combat, man, they were out for blood. And those tank men, Phil, you read about them, the 761.
Yeah.
They went out and they kicked ass.
They went out and kicked ass as good American soldiers. They weren't going out there trying to find themselves a German that they could gut.
Well, they used to talk about, I'm fighting the wrong white man and all that stuff.
No, they didn't say that stuff at all. That probably was soldier talk. The 761 were great soldiers. They were African-American. They were tankmen. And they went out and kicked ass. I don't know that any of them was looking to, take particular revenge on white people.
Well, but you don't know for sure. And that's... Well, now, wait a minute. He don't know for sure, and that's what I'm trying to say.
All right, Amber, I appreciate your call very much.
No problem.
Yes, I do. I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What are you talking about? How would I not know? I'm gay. Are you gay? Amber, are you gay? Yeah, she hung up. You know why she hung up? You hung up, didn't you? Did you hang up? Amber, did you hang up? Yeah, she did.
No.
You know why? Yes, you did. You hung up.
No,
you
absolutely
hung up on
not.
Me. Yes, you did.
Nope, absolutely not.
No, she
not.
Didn't. How could she be talking to you?
Because
exactly.
She hung up and then she called back. No, you hung up and called back.
No, she didn't. Amber, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. What a hell of a thing for you to say.
About what?
Well, what is it with you? I mean, in other words...
What's with me? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
I know that. I got that. I figured that one out. Thank you very much.
Well, if you don't like me saying it because you've got something against gays, you might as well just come right out and say it. You know?
I got nothing against gays. You're just beating the hell out of... I'm a gay man, gay journalist, gay man, gay journalist. I understand that. I think it's a hell of a thing to say, hey, black soldiers, gay soldiers...
I'm not talking about black soldiers, okay? Because black people, they don't want to hang with gay people... So we're not going to, I'm not propping no black people,
Look, let's grow up here a minute and let's talk about what motivates. And you said the black soldiers were good soldiers because they wanted to gut whitey. They were good soldiers because they were trained and because they were capable and because they went out and did their duty. And
well, that sounds real pretty, real pretty. But does it fly? That's my question.
877, I think it does fly. 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line here, got a visit from Debbie Daly, who does a daily talk show. It's Daly's Daily on public radio, and Debbie joins us from New York. Debbie, how are you? And Debbie, so you guys know, Debbie is hearing impaired, and as a result, maybe a little bit difficult to understand.
Well, do you understand? Debbie, how are you? It's Doug Danger. I'm doing really good, and I don't know whether Phil understands you or not. Debbie is a great advocate, Phil, for the disabled.
Yes, she is, very, very much so, and she does a daily radio show for National Public Radio, or not National Public Radio, one of the public networks I know.
Yeah, one of the radio networks, and went on every morning, and daily mailing, and doing a lot.
See, it's...
Hold on, I'll do it. I understand you, Debbie. This is Doug Danger, Debbie. And thank you for calling in, and Phil's having a hard time understanding you. Debbie said if you took more interest in the disabled, go ahead. It would be easier for you to understand the program, which I think she's probably got a point. And
I'm sorry, I don't listen to Debbie's show only because it's on so early, Debbie, but I will.
Let me say something right now, Debbie, if I could, and I want to say this to just all of my liberal friends, my progressive friends. Right now, we've got a fantastic, a wonderful day. Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been rolled back, and I really appreciate the support of the disabled community, especially from you, Debbie. I know that you're hearing impaired, and I think you're speech impaired because of that, right? Or are there other issues? All right. Well, here's what I'm saying. We don't need right now, as we get going with our gay people in the military, I know that liberals want to unite and support, but I don't think it's good for us right now to have disabled people stand in front and center with us.
Why would that be?
Well, what are you? Are you in the conversation? Because you can't even understand what she's saying.
Yeah, I am, because I'm listening to you.
All right. The reason, Debbie, is because we want to have a proud, a uniform front, American soldiers, gay American soldiers, yes, but American soldiers, I just don't think it helps us to have a lot of people hobbling along and spit coming out of their mouth. You know,
what a thing to say.
Well, you what an animal. Aren't you serious?
Debbie, I know that disabled people have supported gay people. I understand that. But I'm just saying, for the first time as liberals, can't we do something where we stand and we look strong and we are normal looking like Republicans are, and we don't have people on crutches and people hobbling along after us like it's some kind of a freak parade? God.
Wow.
What a total inconvenience. You know what I mean?
You got to understand, Debbie, this is a big day.
Well, that was the most insulting thing I think I've ever heard.
No kidding. Henry knows more about it than you.
Mr. Henry knows more about it than I do. I'm the only one that can understand what you're saying. You want to know why? Because I'm a liberal. And because I speak hearing impaired. I speak speech impaired. You understand how hard I've had to work as a gay man, as a gay journalist, to listen to you going, and I can understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying because I care to understand what you're saying. Okay? Hold on for a minute. Now you come on, and for the first time, we've got a wonderful issue, all of us liberals and progressives, where we can say, look at us, we're soldiers too. Look at us, we go out kick ass too. Look at us, we're normal Americans, and you want us, you're always trying to come in, hobble along, and spit coming out and drool.
What does that mean?
Why can't we have one issue as progressives where we don't have some parade of hobbling Tiny Tims? Ah!
What an ass. You know what I'm doing?
Would you shut up, please?
No, I won't have her shut up. You shut up.
Bill, do you understand? I'm a gay man.
Yeah, I understand you're a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm going to... Go ahead, Debbie.
I'm hearing this morning, young man, more Mormon hearing that, and for him to stand there and, on your program and saying that we're a bunch of hobbling tiny tins and a bunch of freaks and drool coming out...
Well, tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead, tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong, Doug.
Oh, bull crap, I'm wrong. You know it's true. You know.
Hold on, Doug.
You're wrong, Doug. And the disabled people we do are nearing best. And we can fight in the military, you know that?
Oh, really? You can fight in the military, too. Hey, I tell you what. Debbie Daly's going to join the U.S. Army. She's going to be the radio operator.
Real funny.
God, that was funny.
Oh,
you're laughing at it too, Mumbles.
Mumbles? Jeez.
That's right, Mumbles.
Okay, queer.
Oh, there it is. There's the Q word. She called me a queer.
All right, hold on for a minute. God. Debbie Daly is going to be the radio operator. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Last segment, do you feel that gays in the military, gay men and lesbians in the military, is inviting into the military people with an axe, with a chip on their shoulder, an axe to grind, people that are going to want to go out and get some payback, maybe at the expense of military decorum and discipline? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And that dope was all me. It was no good. It was skunk weed.
I didn't sell you any skunk weed.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry show, and welcome back here. We have a number of other issues to talk about on the show tonight. I wanted to get up the show schedule here, bud. I think we have Vernon Dozier as well.
Yeah, get Mr. Dozier next hour.
877-876. Phil with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell officially coming to an end at midnight. And, Doug, you have made an issue out of saying that for gay people, yourself included, this is a marvelous opportunity for you to get into the military and get some payback, go out and...
I think you missed the point. The point that I was trying to make, Phil, is you're going to have a lot of really motivated soldiers. That's all I'm saying.
But every soldier's motivated.
Yeah, okay, Phil. I mean, you have to say that, and yes, they're motivated. You know as well as I do that a gay soldier is going to have a little bit more motivation. And I think that, and with all due respect to Ms. Daly, to have Debbie Daly on the show, the one moment that we have as liberals and progressives to expound on a positive development for the people of this country, and you had to put this woman on the stage with me. Can't we show a healthy face, progressives? Can't we show a healthy face to the American people? Or do we always have to have someone standing next to us leaning on a crutch? Or someone spitting into a...
You know, you really... Maybe you should have been a conservative. Or some other political party where there are no people that would embarrass you.
Whoa. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? There's nothing more embarrassing, if you want to get down to it, than that.
And so you have to put down a woman who is speech impaired? 877-876-PHIL is our number. Here is Nick... in Dallas. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
The point is, you join the military to fight for your country. You don't join the military because you're pissed off at anybody, because you're gay, because you're seeking revenge. You don't. And to say that.
Well, how do you know?
People in the military.
How do you know what's the motivation of anybody who joins? Well, how do you know what the motivation of anybody is to join the military? Everybody has their different reasons.
Why would anybody join the Why would anybody join the military if the motivation is not to fight for your country? That's just like me going to work for...
You know that there are a lot of guys...
I don't want to work for cars.
You know a lot of guys join the military because they've got troubled homes, because they can't find their way in life, because they need discipline. There's a lot of reasons people join the military.
Yeah,
got nothing to do with fighting for your country.
You can't say that gays have extra motivation to go to the military to kill, to do whatever. Yeah, I can,
because I know how I come up. I know how a lot of gays come up, and it wasn't pretty. And if I was in the military, I'd want to go out and start some trouble too, you know.
But my problem is this. What is the difference? I mean, you want to start some trouble. What if there's no war on? Then what are you doing?
I guess there's a few bar fights I'm going to get into.
Oh, that's great, man. That's what I call some real esprit de corps and discipline. Bar fights.
Well, what is it with you guys? All of a sudden, gay people can't get into bar fights? Is that it? We're not allowed to be pissed off.
No, you're trying to say that gay people have more motivation because of their sexual orientation
I said because of the way we was treated when we said we was gay.
Because of
that's
how you're treated. Like you said, every other man or woman who joins the military has their own reason. Every other man or woman who is gay, they're gay for their own reason. You cannot.
What? Gay for their own reason? What happened to that guy? He pushed a button and he disconnected himself. You there?
I think we lost Nick. All right, 877-876 probably went through a cell. Or here is Jason.
Yeah, sure, he went through a cell. Yeah, right. Let me put it to you this way. Your phone system blows.
Jason, go ahead, sir.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say, your guest tonight is just, he just seems so insensitive for, you know, he says he's a gay man and a gay journalist, and, you know, he's supposed to his issues, but he's so insensitive to this hearing impaired lady who, you know, has overcome all these obstacles. She has her own show, and then he calls
Debbie,
her
you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, I'm trying to say, I don't know, are you a liberal, sir? I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. All I'm saying is, I'd love to be able to expound on an idea that's good for the country without having to include every person with half a tongue.
Every person who has
a mind is fine. Your mind's not any good if you talk like your mind's no good. If
mind,
you talk, like you came back from the Ice Age.
You know what I'm saying?
Like he might have been one of those cave people.
To speak. How can you, discredit someone who has the mind enough to even, form the ideas
right.
in the mind to...
And she has a radio show, as this gentleman said. She
Well, that's good. So she's got a radio... You know why she has a radio show? Because laws were passed, so people that stutter and mumble get to have a radio show.
Oh, come on, Doug. That is the most...
You're saying you're sensitive to... You know, the ideals of gay people, you're saying you're a gay person, a gay journalist, but you're being insensitive to another so-called minority. So how can you,
I'm a gay man. No, I respect. Look, this, of
I'm
all of us, I'm the only one.
You are gay. You keep
are you
saying
black?
You're saying it's
I'm a gay man. And I want you, I just, I didn't say, I said that I'm a gay
You're saying it a lot.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay.
Are you an African-American, sir?
90.
Are you African-American?
That you said it.
You're African American, correct? And now I know why you're giving me a hard time because you don't want to hang out with gay people.
That's
so
not
we don't want to hang out with you.
Hang out with that is. That's
and
true.
I don't want to. And I. But really, I don't want to hang out with someone that's stuttering and mumbling. Are you listening to that? I mean, how can anybody
right
take serious when I got Tiny Tim standing next to me?
Phil Hendry.
Helen Keller without her personality.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and find we find things that we can do that other talk shows can't do, including Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Now, I do know that we have Mr. Bozell on the line, Stephen Bozell. We're going to talk about Dancing with the Stars and the effect that that may or may not have had on his home life and on the home lives of other men listening to the show. And vis-a-vis, what we're talking about really here is Chaz Bono. Now, we've gotten into this topic before, and I don't know whether anybody really wants to get into it again, but we're going to with Mr. Bozell in just a moment. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And that's where you can go and get live streaming video of our show, as well as our archives, as well as our news feed, as well as our podcast. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So join us and become a Backstage Pass subscriber. The price of our Backstage Pass for the first time in 12 years will go up as of October the 1st. So for 12 years, if you have a Backstage Pass now, though, or if you've had your Backstage Pass since the very beginning, your price will not go up. Yours will stay the same as it has been for 12 years. But after October 1st, any and all new subscribers will pay a slight increase. So join us over there. And I would think now is a good time to get a six-month bud.
Yeah, get a six-month or a one-year subscription and stuff.
Exactly. So go over to philhendryshow.com and pick that up right away. Stephen Bozell with us as we have been following Dancing with the Stars, and you have too, Steve, with your wife. I know that April is a big fan. Steve, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
And your wife's a big fan, right?
Oh, yeah. April loves the program. I've enjoyed it, and I wanted to take part in this, take part in your program and watch the show and give my impression on it.
Well, what's going on at your house?
What's going on is that everyone is enjoying it very much, and my wife and my daughter, April Jr., they have also been enjoying this very much. And the only thing that I think is, I think that what's happened is as I said to you on a program earlier, Mr. Hendry, that, you know, Chaz Bono
It's transgender.
Yes, sir. He's transgender, and I had questions about whether or not that was. I guess I had questions about whether or not that was something that made me and other men look like a fool, or
Yeah, no, you've had, you. I remember when you came on and you talked about, does that emasculate you somehow? Because Mr. Bono at one time was a woman, and now Mr. Bono is a man, and yet he's got this gorgeous-looking woman. And,
yes, sir.
And you felt that there was some sort of a humiliation there. And, of course, you know, that's your own issue.
Well, I don't have a problem with that so much. But what has transpired since then, of course, is that my wife has enjoyed the program, and my daughters enjoyed the program, and we watched Mr. Bono last night, and my wife said that he was a really good dancer, and that, I guess, is going to be expected. And my daughter did, too, and it's tough to take, you know.
What's tough to take?
The fact that my wife had seen this man, Mr. Bono, on the on Dancing with the Stars, and said that she felt he was a very good dancer, because I've taken my wife dancing, and I've done the things that a man will do. I think I'm a good dancer. We've gone many times to different nightclubs, and I can do different moves and everything.
Are you not as good a dancer?
Well, I think that my wife had said to me, and my daughter had said to me that, you know, why can't you dance as good as him? And I said, I was a little taken back, and I said, you realize that you say that him, that it was a her, and I know I'm going back on what I said last time I was on your show. And
yeah, I think you need to let go of that. I think you need to let go of the fact that the him was a her.
I know that, but if you just hear me out, my wife said to me, why can't you dance like him? And we were enjoying the show. And she said, how come you can't dance like him? And I said, man, you've got to please, yeah, at least give me this much of a break. You know that was the him. I said, you know the him, her. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, just slow down.
I said to my wife, you know that him was a her. And she said, yeah, all the more reason. And she started to laugh, and my daughter laughed too. And, of course, I guess at a time like that, you can't...
Slow down.
I guess at a time like that, there is much more for you to do than just to... All I could do is just put my face in my hands, and I had to run from the room.
You put your face in your hands, and you ran from the room?
I mean, if you're going to tell me that that's somehow, you know, a sissy move, I would say to you this. When you love a woman and you love your daughter and you do everything you can for them every day of your life, you go out and you make a living, and you come home, and then you put on Dancing with the Stars, and you can't even look good compared to a guy that was a woman. You can't even look good compared to a guy who's overweight, not particularly good-looking, and on top of everything else, used to be a woman. And your wife says, why can't you be like him? You don't get that.
I understand that would bother a certain kind of personality.
What does that mean, Mr. Henry?
I think what it means is that there is a insecurity that you suffer from, Mr. Bozell. We talked about the last time you were on the show, that I think, you know, just really, I think that's the problem.
Well, you're not married, you don't have kids.
No, you're right. I don't have kids, and I'm not married, and I'm not subject to that kind of conversation.
Well, no, it's a critique. It's a criticism.
I wouldn't call it a critique or a criticism. I really wouldn't. I mean, there isn't a man in America that doesn't have a wife, probably, unless, you know, with very few exceptions, that doesn't have a wife who will watch any kind of a dance show where there are men and women dancing, and there isn't a man in America that doesn't have a wife who will look at him and say, why can't we dance like that? You know?
Well, you're in the bed. So you got your nose in bedroom windows or something?
No, I don't have my nose in bedroom windows. I'm talking about watching TV.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
I'm talking about watching TV. You're sitting down, you're watching the tube. You're not a dancer, you know.
Mr. Henry,
I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just saying the average guy's not a dancer. Whatever he does for a living, comes home. You take your wife dancing on Friday night. You take her dancing on a Saturday night, whatever. You know, maybe you got another night off during the week. You surprise her. You take her out. That's about the extent of your dancing. And you know, if you see ballroom dancing or some of that jazz they do on Dancing with the Stars, I'm sure that a lot of women say, wow, that would be really cool to do a dance like that.
Well, Mr. Henry, I anticipated that. My wife said, why can't you dance like that? But he was dancing in a way that I found to be confusing. He was dancing, moving his hips up and down in a very suggestive way, and then twirling her around. And I didn't want to do that. And
oh, that's so funny. You don't have to dance like that. Wouldn't it be in a suggestive way?
He was moving his hips back and forth. I think what I'm saying here, Mr. Henry, let me just get back on track here, because I think you've taken the ball and you're running, you know, the goal line with it. And I, you know, it's my game. You know, it's my ball, my field. And
well, yeah, maybe your ball in your field in terms of the topic, but it's my stadium. So can we just stick to what it is? You were going to report on how you and your wife, April, and your daughter enjoyed Dancing with the Stars after you had talked to me last week.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the verdict?
My wife and my daughter enjoyed it. I was sickened by it.
You were sickened by it?
Yes, sir, because I took my wife and my daughter, as I sat there watching a show with them, like you said to do, and they're saying to me, how come you can't dance like that? And they want me to dance like a transgender. And I found that hurtful, and I wanted to talk to you about it.
All right. 877-876-PHIL.
And the only thing that I would say is I know there's a lot of men that feel the same way as I do, and I would hope that they would open their hearts and their minds and support me when I'm simply saying, I am not against gays. I'm not against transgenders. I'm not against any of the transgender people. I'm not against any of them. I'm only against having a wife look at me and say, you ain't as good as a guy that used to be a woman.
And I don't think she's saying that.
Well, in so many words.
No, not in so many words. She's not saying that. She says, why can't you dance like that?
Okay, why can't I dance? I've taken my wife dancing. Let me, if I could demonstrate something, I've got Tim Bosco is one of my workers. Tim, put on that. And what I've done, Phil, and did you want me to do this after?
Is this the dance demonstration?
Well, I wanted to show you how, and I know you can't see on the radio, but you can hear the kind of music I'm working with on how I'm going to improve my dancing so that I will never have to hear again from my wife, who I love and who I earn money for, and who I think should give me a little more respect. I will never again have to hear her say, how come you can't dance as good as a gender? As a
transgender?
As a transgender.
All right. You're going to demonstrate this dancing?
No, it's what I've been practicing. I got Tim Bosco, who's one of my cement finishers, who came. He's got his sound system here.
Where are you, sir?
I'm at my home.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is Chaz Bono's success on Dancing with the Stars for any of you men or women, is it proving problematic in your home? Is your wife saying that you don't dance as well as a guy that used to be a woman? Does it matter? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell. He's going to give us a demonstration of the dancing he's learning to impress his wife. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Oh boy.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell on the line with us as we talk about Dancing with the Stars. And so, Steve, you have a song that you're practicing, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you're practicing the song because your wife, you know, made the comment, why can't you dance as well as, I guess it was Chaz Bono, right?
Yes. I mean, now we were watching the show as you asked us to. And we were enjoying him dancing, and I made the comment. I said, "You know, he was a transgender," and my wife said, "Well, yeah."
And, well, he's not. He is.
Yeah, yes, sir. And so she said, "You know, why can't you dance that good?" And I said, I said, you know, he's a gender. And she said, yeah, all the more reason. And then she started to laugh. And that's, you're never really prepared for that. You're never really prepared for your own wife and your own daughter to just come at you like that.
I mean, that was a real hurtful thing?
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah. When I said to her, I said, are you telling me the gender?
And transgender. You don't know what it's called?
No, I do. I'm sorry. But at the time, I probably had forgotten it. I said, are you telling me that a transgender, you're going to get a transgender out here who's going to dance better than your own husband? And she said, yeah. He said, all the more reason for you to dance better. Ha, ha, ha. And my daughter laughed, too. And I felt very put down by that. So I went out and I got a record that you probably recognize. Go ahead. Tom Bosco's here, Phil.
And yeah, I know. He's one of your cement finishers?
Yes, sir. Go ahead and put on Hustle. This is Van McCoy, Hustle. This is a song that, I don't know if you can hear that. Turn it up, Tom.
We can hear it.
Go a little bit. This song is probably the most famous dancing song that there's ever been. And I'm just going to warm up to it now. Yeah, one, two, one, two. Okay. What I'm doing is I'm praying. You can learn this dance. You can say I mastered one of the disco dances of the disco area. And
the disco era?
Yeah, disco area. Disco era, I mean, yeah. Here it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I slipped. All right, hold on. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Will you, Tom? Stop it, damn it. No. I know it. Damn it. I slipped. But you can see.
I can't see anything. I can hear you, Steve.
No. What do you mean you can hear me?
Well, I can hear you. You're breathing very heavily.
Well, yeah. It's a very. What I'm trying to do is give you a sense of the rhythm. Can you get the rhythm of this?
Yeah, I get the rhythm of the song. Do the hustle. Dit, 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 dit. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, hold on for a minute. It's not three. You're doing a 4-4 time. It's more like a. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I do. We don't have to argue the time, do we?
Well, I just thought so you'll know that I'm mastering a song that's very difficult to do. Do the hustle. Hold on for a minute. Do the hustle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3. See, that's the part you don't know. If you was dancing, okay? Tom, you got that? Okay.
And who is that?
That's Tom Bosco. He's one of my cement finishers.
He sounds, is he, how old is he?
Tom, he's probably about 50. Put the needle on.
That's good.
Yeah, you did a good job. All right, here we go, Phil. Watch. Here we go. No, you don't dance, Tom. You don't dance, Tom.
Don't go dance.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, okay? All right, now watch and try to follow along to the rhythm of the beat of the beat, of the rhythm of the beat, is what I'm saying. See, it's a build-up here, build-up, build-up, build-up.
Steve, I commend you for doing this for your wife.
Yeah, hold on. Thanks a lot. Just thank me later, will you? Here we go. Here we go. Right here. And I kick my leg out now. 2, 3. 3, 3. 3, 3. Damn it, I lost my step. Here. Hold on, Claude. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off! God.
You're easy, man, okay?
I lost my place.
All right, now I have on the line here, I don't know if you want to speak with, she's a former professional entertainer, she's been an actress, she's a singer, and she also is at times a dancer. I don't know if you want to talk to Margaret Gray. Hold on for just a second here, Steve, while we get her up on the line. We're talking with Stephen Bozell here on the Phil Henry Show, and Margaret Gray is on the line with, Margaret, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm listening to this man, I'm taking a bath this evening. I'm listening to what he's trying to do, and I think I can hear. Is your name Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
Steve, my name is Margaret Gray. I was a dancer, and Phil's right. I've been a singer, and I still am. I'm a dancer, and I still am. I'm an actress, and I still am. But my primary job in life now is a mother and a wife. We've got a very large home. I have to oversee our estate. And
that's fine, Margaret. Can we get going here? Because
Excuse me. I happen to be in a tub right now. I don't know if you can hear that, but I'm soaking, and I heard the program.
All right, and I appreciate you doing, you know, being on the show. The only problem is we have a break coming up.
Well, you've got a break coming up then, don't you? What's that got to do with me?
I apologize.
Now, you can take your break, and then I will help this gentleman. Steve, would you like that?
Well, I don't know if you know. Have you done the hustle and everything?
Darling, I have done every dance that there's ever been. I can do the full layout. I do leg kicks. I've done it all. Give me the Calgon, will you? Amparo, the Calgon. The Calgon, yeah. The Calgon, for Christ's sake. So, I can do it, Phil.
All right, that's fine. We'll take a break. Margaret, I'm going to put you on hold.
Well, wait a second. The thing that I wanted to...
Are you still there, Steve?
I've pretty much got this figured out. I don't need no help, you know?
Well, she's a dancer, and it sounds like you might, because that second go-around there...
Yes, sir.
I can hear this. You're still breathing kind of heavy.
Well, that's because I got my Bluetooth in, and I guess you can hear all everything that goes on and everything. I got Tom Bosco's here. He's one of my cement finishers. He's a good man. He's got his own wife and children. And
that guy that's with you?
Yeah. Tom, say hi. That's Tom.
Okay.
Well, I don't understand.
Nothing. It's fine. All right, so why don't you hang on the line here, and we'll get back with Margaret Gray as we learn here with Steve Bozell how to do the hustle as he's trying to out-hustle Chaz Bono and impress his wife, who said to him, how come you can't dance as well as that guy there? 877-876-PHIL, back with Stephen Bozell, Margaret Gray, and Tom Bosco on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And Margaret Gray, Margaret, are you there? I've got Margaret Gray and Steve Bozell. You there?
Yes, sir.
And Margaret?
Hold on, Phil. I'm getting the Calgon back, please.
I can't hold on, Margaret.
No, I'm here. I had a very difficult day, so I'm in the top. But I want to coach Stephen. All right. Now, Stephen, you're there, and you have your music?
Yes, ma'am. I think I know how to do, you know what?
Well, I was listening to you, and Phil heard it as well, and I think Phil's listeners are also hearing it. We're hearing you struggling. We're hearing you breathing very heavily. If you can play that song, even though there is no actual video of me or you, Stephen, I know people can see Phil on his video cast, and maybe, Phil, this is something for you to keep in mind for the future, where you might have some remote cameras at my home.
But that might be an idea.
You know, if I wanted to sing, if I wanted to do a dance, we could do 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 do. You know.
Yeah, but we that's a very good idea.
So it's just an idea. I don't know if there's anything you want to do. All right. God, I'm always putting out fires. All right, where's this song you're using?
Yes, ma'am.
What's it called?
It's called "Hustle" by Man McCoy or Bad McCoy?
Van McCoy.
Oh, it's Van McCoy. It's the Hustle. Yeah, I know this song. It's the Philadelphia. Yeah, I knew Van McCoy. I knew I knew he worked for Lamont Dozier. He worked for Dozier in Lamontville.
Yeah, the Philadelphia sound.
Yes, I know all about him. All right. Couldn't keep his hands off my head. I shouldn't say that.
You knew.
Hold on, let's just do the song. I don't want to get into a lot of gossip and a lot of way back when, okay?
Way back when? How dare you? It wasn't way back when, Phil.
Well, in the 70s is way back when, okay? We're talking over 30 years now.
Well, for me, it feels like it was yesterday, and I got news for you, too. Never mind. I was going to say that my ass feels like it was yesterday, too.
No, that's just wonderful.
Well, this is, what is it, the children's hour or something?
Yeah, I'm just trying to...
Get the song, and you're going to help him with it, right?
Well, you have the song, right?
I do have the song. It's called The Hustle. It's by Van McCoy. I'm looking at the label right now. Tom Bosco's with me.
And who is Tom Bosco? Let me know who that is.
Tom Bosco is one of my spent fish. This is Mrs. Gray. And Mrs. Gray.
What is that?
Mrs. Gray. That's Tom Bosco.
Well, that doesn't... What do you mean that was Tom Bosco? That sounded like an animal.
No, he's one of my workers.
Well, Phil, I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, neither do I, as a matter of fact.
Oh, get you. You're in a real hurry, aren't you, huh?
Yeah, he's in a hurry to get nowhere fast.
Yeah, you're in a real hurry to get nowhere fast.
Hey! I'm the guy that had you on the show, Mr. Bozell. You come on here bawling about your wife.
I wasn't bawling.
Yes, you were bawling. Yes, you were. Talking about this gender guy dances better than me.
Well, Phil, don't mock the man.
I thought maybe you had more class than that.
Oh, I see. So all of a sudden, I'm a jackass. That's great.
Well, let's not argue right now. Do you have the song? Now, if you have the song...
Yes, ma'am, I do. I'll play it for you, and you can... And Tom Bosco is here.
Yeah, I know all about Tom Bosco, okay? Enough with Tom Bosco. I got it, okay?
Yeah, I know, but he's the one that's working the music, the machine that makes the music go.
What are you, from 1920s Kansas? It's called a record player. What do you have?
It's a CD machine.
Well, then call it a CD machine for...
Yeah, what, Steve, what are you, nervous?
A little bit, yes, sir. Okay, Miss Gray, here it is. This is the bustle, not the bustle.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know this. Okay, yeah, stand back, okay. 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, you're going to hear in the way that I move, you won't see me, but you'll hear the free-flowing movement of my body. I'm a free body in space. That's all I am. Just think of me as an object moving through space. 2, 3, and do it! In fact, there are words to this, Phil. I can sing the words. It'll give you an idea to the rhythm.
Okay.
2, 3, and do the hustle. I like to do the hustle every day. I cut. Cut that crap, will you, for God's sake? I need to get the key, Phil.
You need to get the key to what? I thought this is a dancing demonstration.
It is a dancing demonstration, but there are words to this song. And if I sing the words, it helps people to visualize me, a disembodied thing in space.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think about, Ms. Gray, is just being a thing in space.
That's great, a thing in space. That's...
Well, you know what I mean, for God's sake. All right, let's see. Where am I? Paul, can I get more hot bath water?
Will you knock it off with the bath water, please, and let's just get to it?
Jesus. All right. Ah, that's the way I like it, nice and hot.
You done?
That's got it. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Bosco.
Name's Bozell.
Say again?
My name is Stephen Bozell.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Bozell. 2, 3. La, do it. Okay, that's a good key right there. La,
you're close to the phone, Margaret.
I'm sorry. 2, 3, 4. Now, Mr. Bozo, listen very carefully to this, okay? Listen. Listen. Here we go.
Do the hustle.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What do you mean, do the hustle?
I'm trying to find the right key, okay?
It is a very difficult song, Mr. Henry.
Look, nobody's here to sing the song. I wanted somebody to dance the song, because that's what this has been all about. You dancing.
The only way for me to show people how the song, how the dance looks, is for me to sing it. Now, I was trying to find the key. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ooh, do the hustle.
Oh, your ass. I didn't sound like that at all.
No, you didn't, Miss. You sounded very nice, Miss Gray.
Thank you very much, Stephen. All right, play it again. Go, 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 go. That's my baby.
Oh, man, I'm getting tired of this.
All right, here we go. Do it. 2, 3, 4. Do it. Go on, Chrissy, get out of here. Here we go. Do the hustle. I like to dance the hustle every day at my house. Do the hustle and the thing is up. Jesus, it's Christ, I can't my voice. Tina! Tina! Will you, for God's sake?
What's wrong?
Oh, I got the voice. My voice is stuck in the thing.
Who is this?
It's Margaret, you jackball. I got a pink. Pink!
What? Wait. Hold on. Who is this?
It's Margaret.
Yeah, his voice got stuck.
What do you mean his voice got stuck?
It happens. It happened back when he was on stage at Broadway. He thought he could, he thinks he's some kind of mini Ripperton.
Give me that phone, will you, you jackass? Bill, I need to do the song again because my voice got stuck. I'm sorry.
Is this some kind of a joke, Mr. Henry? Are you trying to mock my sexuality?
No, I'm not doing anything. I what you're singing has to do with anything, Ms. Gray, is beyond me. We're trying to have you demonstrate a dance.
I'm trying to demonstrate the dance, but my voice got stuck. Have you never heard of that?
No, I've never heard of a voice getting stuck. No, I haven't.
Well, calm down, yep. You're screaming like a bitch, okay?
Hey.
Well, Mr. Henry, you should really... Just back off, okay, until his voice gets freed up, all right?
Boy, I'm in a nut house, you know that? I got somebody with their voices stuck. I got a guy here with gender confusion. Wait till his voice loosens up. I got another dude with a real image problem because some gender guy dances better than him. You people are nuts!
Speak for yourself. I'm going to play it again, will you?
What's that?
I said to play it again, will you? Play the song again. Get that guy Bosco, whatever the hell that guy's name is.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Are you Steve Bozell?
Bozell, just play the song again.
Yes, sir. Here it is.
Am I in key?
No, you're not.
I'm not in key?
No.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's put the wheel right there.
You sound like some guy. You sound like some sort of squirreled out. You sound like Mickey Mouse after he sucked 6 canisters of helium. You know that?
Oh, I just don't want to dance. Do it! Here we go. Hey, the watch, Mr. Bozell. Listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
2, 3. Do the hustle. 1, 2, 3. And the 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And the 1, tick, tick. 1, 2, 3. Pull me up. 1, 2, 3. Now I crawl on the floor. And then...
I can't take it anymore.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. I turned your music off. I hung up on her. I think maybe I can hear her tub, but I hope not. I think I still hear Miss Gray's tub. I don't know how that's possible, but I suppose that it is. Is that Miss Gray in a tub?
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe she blew her throat out or something.
Could be. I can't listen to that. You're not getting any help that way, Mr. Bozell. I can tell you that it's pointless. I would, if I were you, just enjoy the... And if your wife and your daughter say, why can't you dance as well as that guy, laugh at it, okay? Just laugh it off.
Well, I know you said to laugh it off, but it's just very, very hard, Mr. Henry. And I feel that if I try to laugh it off, then maybe they are making fun. I don't know. I just don't know.
What is that?
I don't know.
I'm holding his head under the water.
All right, get him out of here, will you, before I go nuts?
What, are you trying to kill her?
Sounded like he was holding his wife's head under the water. All right, I'll tell you this much. If you're watching Dancing with the Stars and Chaz Bono dances better than you, send him a letter of congratulations. Congratulations, Chaz. You dance better than me. It ain't saying much, but you do. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. We have our news and information hour coming up next hour.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You understand that it sounds asinine. If I'm going to have you on the air like this, that it sounds ridiculous.
Actually, that's very okay. I had said to you that I was going to help that man. And when you put me on the air, and I really want to help the man, and my voice stuck.
I've never heard of anybody's voice sticking.
Have you heard of it, though? Because it happened to me. It happened to me. You understand?
I understand. So how do you... You know, Margaret,
You know, you want to get involved in the drama, Phil, and the problem with you is you always want to get involved in the drama. You want to get involved. I heard you during the break. All you want to do is get involved in the drama. You never want to solve the problem.
What do you mean I never want to solve the problem? What is the problem? You have a stuck voice. This is stuff that is beyond my experience, okay?
So it's beyond your experience. And if it's beyond your experience, then why don't you let people whose experience it has been a part of, let them figure it out.
He's got a point, Phil.
He's got a point, Phil. Do you hear your husband? Okay?
Can you hear him? He's got gender confusion.
He's got gender confusion. You got a stuck voice. And I'm supposed to operate in this universe like it's normal.
Oh, I get it. You're real normal and everybody else is a freak, is that it? You're normal, but I'm the freak of the week, is that it? Am I the freak of the week?
No, I'm not claiming to be normal, but I don't know of anybody that's ever had to deal with a radio show where I got a guest whose voice gets stuck and her husband has gender confusion and he can't call anybody by their right gender.
You know exactly what Frank's talking about. Frank, what's doing?
I don't know what either one of you is. I'm just saying that he's going to be fine. All he has to do is just keep on talking. He generally, you know, I love my wife, Phil, and he's the best woman that I've ever met. And I don't know why you're getting upset.
I'm getting upset, Frank. I'm getting upset because I had a radio show that was going to have a guy. I had an hour where a guy was going to demonstrate a dance. And, you know, you guys call up. She's in the tub. I thought that we were going to show this man how to dance.
Him out of dance, and my wife went nuts.
What's that got to do with singing?
Well, what he's trying to say is that you understand that Margaret was a dancer, and he was a part of a great many shows. He was on stage in Chorus Line. Margaret, what else were you on stage in?
I was on stage in the Fantastics.
Fantastics, Chorus Line. He was. Were you part of the chorus in Band of La Mancha?
Yeah, very briefly. When I came to Hollywood then.
He was in Hollywood by then, and of course I was working with. I was working with some producers then. By that point, I was working with Quinn Martin. She was one of the top producers, you know that.
Yeah, I know she was.
Who?
I'm not trying to be a smart ass, Phil.
No, okay, fine. So Quinn Martin, and what else?
Well, like I said, I was working with Quinn Martin, and she had the idea of a Western. And I said, well, what kind? And she said Chop House. You remember Chop House, Margaret?
Yeah, Chop House was my big break, but it only didn't hang up and down.
They only kept it on for three episodes. And I said to Quinn, I said, you know, you are some worthless piece of dog do. And she laughed. She said, I always knew it was only going to go, you know, 3 weeks. It was a lousy idea. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? I don't know anything about television. And I invested some money into this thing. Well, I got my money back on another show. But it hurt Margaret, and I don't think he ever got over it. He never wanted to be an actor again, did you?
No, especially when I lost the point to Linda Evans in the Big Rally.
What's your problem?
That's fine. Whatever. I'm just listening. Quinn Martin, and it was called Chop House?
Yeah, Chop House. You remember Chop House, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, you got a pretty big pair on you to laugh at Chop House.
You told me it was only on for three episodes.
Three very memorable episodes.
Oh, the hell, three memorable episodes. No show is on for three episodes that's memorable.
Well, Chop House was memorable, I can tell you that. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I was in it.
There you go, because he was in it.
That's right.
Well, I don't remember Chop House, but congratulations, and I'm sorry that your voice is stuck. How do you just keep loosening it up, huh?
Yeah, just loosen up. Just keep talking. You're in the hot tub here. Hey, Frank, come on, hit the hot water again for me, okay?
You got it.
Yeah, baby. Well, good.
Want some more of those Calgon bath beads? You know where to find me. I got to go talk to him, Parle. I think he's making tea.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Did you say something?
Did you say something?
Yeah, Margaret, she thinks she's the center of the universe.
Yeah, I don't know why you have her on the show.
I had her on the show because she said she could teach somebody how to dance. And now her voice is stuck. And then I got to hear the history of Chop House.
I looked up Chop House. It was on for 3 episodes. It starred Margaret Gray, and she played some saloon person. And
yeah, she played one of those saloon chicks they have in all those westerns, you know. Who was the star?
James Doody.
Let me see. James Drury.
James Drury? He's fantastic. James Drury?
Yeah, and Doug McClure.
James Drury and Doug McClure. Those are pretty big actors. They were big TV actors in the 60s. And Margaret, huh?
Yeah, Margaret Gray as Amanda.
Amanda? Ain't that the same name of the lady in Big Valley?
I don't know. I don't watch any of that white people stuff. Then I had one show on for black people in the 60s, except for that one show, Julia. That thing, I couldn't stand that.
Julia, yeah, I remember her. She was like a, what was she?
Like a single mother, something like working in an office or something?
Yeah, they had one show with Julia, and they had a...
Yeah, what about I Spy? They had a black guy in that.
Oh, that's fantastic. One black guy. Then I have another show, Julia. That's one black chick. What else?
Beulah?
Yeah, Beulah. That's fantastic. A maid.
Ha, 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 ha.
Shut up, man.
All right, easy, easy, easy. What do you want from me, man? That's the way TV was. Beulah? Jeez, that was a show, huh?
Yeah, Beulah was about a black lady who was a maid.
Well, shut my mouth. Of course it was about a black lady who was a maid. What do you think she was going to be, an astronaut?
Man, they had no show for black folks then.
They had, I'm trying to think, oh, you know they had, of course, you guys are way, way younger. You don't know any of this stuff, but, and everybody listening just about to the show tonight, there may be some people who just don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about, but there was a time when you didn't see black people on TV, and if you did, they were like extras, or they had very bit parts. Like, I remember I was always, as much as I like Clint Eastwood, I was always embarrassed because the black characters in those Dirty Harry movies were always so obvious, you know?
Yeah, like the first guy was a bad guy.
Well, no, hold on. They had 2 black characters in Dirty Harry. One was the bad guy, and another was a doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, one of them was the doctor taking the bullet out of Harry's shoulder, and the other was some guy that was knocking off a bank. God, I'm telling you.
And that was the guy who said, I got to know.
Yeah. That's the guy that Dirty Harry comes up to, and he very says, you know, I know you're thinking in all this confusion, how many bullets did I fire? You know. But yeah, that was it. Well, they had Nat King Cole. You know who he is?
Nat King Cole's a merry old soul?
No, this guy was a singer. He had a TV show for about 5 seconds, but all the southern stations wanted it yanked. Serious, that's a true story. All right, we're going to come back in our News and Information Hour here. The world-famous Phil Henry
Phil
Show.
Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We go places, other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. So they don't. And as a result, well, they are what they are. We are what we is, or what we am.
What we am.
What we am. By the way, what you just saw, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, was our Raider Nation shot from our homepage on our website. And if you visit our website, you'll see our news blog there. And you'll also see a little section that says 5-day archive. That's where you can get the 5-day archive of the video cast as well as the audio. Or you can sign up for the podcast, which delivers the audio version of our show directly to your iPod. Sign up for it through iTunes if you'd like, or through our website. You'll also see a news feed, as I mentioned. You'll see all of our archives are available. You can see that our rants are available, video and audio rants, all kinds of stuff there at philhenryshow.com. That was kind of a goofy way of doing that, Robert.
Well, I don't know what you were talking about, so I kept trying to go all over the place.
Right. I mean, you wound up just on just like nothing. Anyway, that's fine. It's fine. There's also a link there for affiliates, APHILLIATES. Who spelled that anyway?
I did.
Well, what does it mean? That's affiliates?
Yeah, I thought affiliates better.
You thought affiliates is better. I want people to think of them as affiliates, as in P-H-I-L.
Yeah, but if you say affiliate, Nobody's going to think it's PH. So if you say a Philililiot.
If you say a Philililiot, what?
Everyone will think about, oh, wow, that's a funny way of saying that. I wonder how I spell that. And the next thing you know, you say a PH.
No, actually, it's...
Yeah, see?
It makes sense. Okay. Anyway, go check out our list of a Philililiots there at... at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is the fang. Well, we went through the Don't Ask, Don't Tell with Doug Danger earlier in the show. 9 months after President Barack Obama signed a bill repealing the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that said homosexuals could openly serve in the United States military, the gay ban ended on Tuesday at 1 minute after midnight. The first celebration took place in Vermont, where Navy Lieutenant Gary Ross and his civilian partner Dan Swezy were married. Ross wore his dress uniform for the double ring ceremony, which took place at midnight, the same moment the military's new policy took effect. There was no official announcement about the end of the 1993 law on the Defense Department's website early Tuesday morning, nor did the White House website make any mention of the fact that soldiers no longer have to conceal their homosexuality. Defense Secretary, what, bud?
Why is that?
President Obama knows that it's politically liable in some areas of his constituency, whether they're Democrats or conservatives. There's people that are, they just don't want to know about it. I don't know, like this, just, you know, that's why he's openly against gay marriage. It's a hot potato. It's politically not a popular issue. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're black and you don't care about gays.
Why don't you shut up, man, okay?
All right, don't forget about it. What?
Yeah, but I mean, why won't he just say it? I mean, it's about civil rights and everything.
Sure, it's about civil rights. It's about all of those nice things. Yeah, sure, you bet. But the fact of the matter is, as far as we've come as a country, we've come a long way. We've come further than any other country. I had a discussion about this with someone. I said, are you going to tell me? Are you seriously going to tell me that there's something in this world that is done better by another country? He said, well, health care, public health care. I said, now, let's talk about that for a minute. You're talking about the delivery of health care. I said, but I'm just talking simply about health care, health services. Are you telling me that they're better? He said, no, absolutely. The best health care in the world is in the United States. I said, okay. Now you're talking about a question of how we deliver that health care. Is it delivered equally? Should it be delivered equally? I mean, America's having this conversation with itself right now. This is what other countries haven't had that conversation. Other countries have already had that conversation, and they have decided thus and so. I said, hold on. Yes. And he brought up Canada. I said, Canada's a great example. Canada's a great country. Canada has public health care. But let's talk about something, okay? Let's get real, baby. Like that lady said, you remember the lady in England when she said, get it real, black people?
Yeah.
Let's get real for a minute here, okay? Canada, and nobody wants to talk about this. It's kind of like when nobody wants to talk about the fact, everybody says, and look at the money that we had in the surplus, and the thing, and the nobody wants to, are you aware of the fact there was something called 9/11? Are we not allowed to bring that up? Do you know what that did to the airline industry, to the tourism industry, to the God Almighty, every damn industry you want to think of, and the money? I remember the federal government, long before there was a stimulus, the federal government making monies available to the city of New York. Yes, of course, it was FEMA money. You're absolutely right. But the fact of the matter is that this was a lot of money, man, and it had to come from someplace. FEMA ain't got that kind of... I mean, they don't budget for that kind of a disaster. Anyway, I don't want to get into a big thing. I'm just saying this. Canada's a great country, but Canada doesn't have the challenges this country has. Canada doesn't have the defense budget that this country has. The United States has a defense budget that takes into consideration Canada. Canada doesn't have the number of people to deliver health care to that the United States has. Canada is not even close to a good comparison with the United States. Canada's got it good. But the trade-off is they got to live in Canada.
What do you mean about that?
It's cold as hell. That's what I mean about that.
Oh. What are you taking your shirt off for?
It's hotter than hell in here. All right, I'm sorry. I'm probably grossing people out on a video cast. In any event, so that's why President Obama didn't say nothing about it, man. It's still very much a politically sensitive issue. Yeah, people are fine with it. The American people are okay, cool. This is how I think the American people see the don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, all right, we're in favor. If the military's all right with it, then we're all right with it, okay? But the minute we hear any problem, one tiny itsy-bitsy problem, that's what I think is going to happen, you know?
Well, I mean, what kind of problem are you talking about?
You name it, man. Anything that happens that could cast a bad reflection on the gay community, they'll be all over it like white on rice. Don't even worry about it. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, were expected to take questions at a news conference later on Tuesday, and members of Congress, I don't know whether they did or not, this story is about 9 million years old, but anyway, and members of Congress who supported the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, also plan to make comments on Capitol Hill. Homosexual advocacy groups said celebrations would take place in all 50 states to mark the end of this, quote, terrible law. Service members' Legal Defense Network called Tuesday a historic milestone, the beginning of a new era for all patriots who can now serve free from the threat of being fired on the basis of sexual orientation. That was a very significant day. Let me see if we have anything on the server in terms of audio from any of these guys answering questions, because I think it would bear some scrutiny to see what they have to say. We've got daily audio, daily audio, daily audio. Where is that, bud?
Probably over an FTP in a file, client file, number 222. Yes. No, over here. Over here. Yeah, that right there?
No, I don't know what you're pointing at, man, okay? I'm looking for the daily audio file. Why is it so difficult to find? Here it is. Let's see if we have anything in here from nothing. There's no audio in there. That's interesting. There's no audio at all?
Uh-uh.
Okay, no comment. So that's that story. And then the rich already pay more. A AP fact check. I don't know why I got this story. Somebody trying to, what? Someone giving me a political point of view? President Barack Obama says he wants to make sure millionaires are taxed at a higher rate than their secretaries. The data say they already are being taxed at their rates higher than their secretaries. Warren Buffett's secretary shouldn't pay a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett. There's no justification for it, Obama said as he announced his deficit reduction plan this week. It is wrong that in the United States of America, a teacher or a nurse or a construction worker who owns $50,000 should pay higher, blah, 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 blah. On average, the wealthiest Americans and the wealthiest people in America pay. Somebody sent me this story, and I don't know why, because there's no source cited.
It says AP.
I don't give a damn if it says AP. There's no source cited in the body of the story. There you go, man. That's what I do with that. That'll teach you. You send me another story like that, and it's going to get ripped up again. I want to get certain people on the ball around here, all right? It's taken me year after year after year after year to try to get people in a professional mode around here. Don't send me a story that doesn't have a source. I'm not interested in somebody's opinion. I'm not interested in opinion pieces. I don't give a damn. I don't care. Time Magazine, I wipe with Time Magazine. Newsweek, all of those magazines and all of those periodicals that used to be journalistic standards. Now all they do opinion pieces. I don't know. No, thank you. And if you tell me it's an AP fact check, then tell me it's an AP fact check. I don't want to see nothing from AP. Let's take a break and
I didn't pull that story.
I didn't blame you for pulling that story. Let's take a break and get organized here. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Click to listen to a more complete version. Free. CopingStrategiesCD.org. That's CopingStrategiesCD.org.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I gotta remind myself, man, excuse me, I just gotta remind myself that when I sit down here at night, if I don't do the work myself, it ain't gonna get done. It's not here, and nobody can tell me where it is. That's cool, that's fine. Unless I do it, it ain't gonna get done.
I told you I was going to do it.
No, you're not supposed to do it. It's supposed to be audio. Okay. The problem that I, you know, it's all my fault. I ought to be checking that folder. I got to make sure that everybody is wiping their... Maybe if it was small market radio. Maybe if this was Busted Whistle Nebraska or Ogallala Moose or wherever the hell. But you got to have a network level of proficiency. All I, and it wasn't any big deal. The only thing I was looking for was any audio. The one night that I go into the file to look for audio because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and there was supposed to be a press conference, the one night I go and look for it, nothing there. Where it is, I don't know. It's probably under, and you know how these things are, it's probably in some file that some jackass gave a name to that made total sense to him, doesn't make any sense to anybody else.
What about this one?
Don't open that up, you fool. Those are viruses. That was the stuff that we had yanked out of here. Phil's audio. No, it's not in there. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real secret, man. Oh, it's located in Henry Prep. What's this file that says daily audio? Henry Prep, huh? Prep Henry. Oh, okay. So now it's got two names. It's not Henry Prep, it's Prep Henry.
Your name's Phil.
It's not supposed to be Phil. It's supposed to be Prep, as in show prep. Let me explain to you how these things work, see? Some guy says, I'm going to send Phil audio. I'm going to put it in a file. I'm going to give it a name. I won't tell Phil what the name is. I'll just stick it right there on his desktop, and he can figure it out. And I'll just give it any name I want to give it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been in this business 43 years. The business is not getting more professional. It's getting more amateurish because the more we have these companies that are buying up these other companies that are like, hi, I run a pharmaceutical business. I think I'd like to buy a radio station. The more jackasses we got involved in this business. I still can't find Prep Henry.
Want me to look for it?
No, I don't want you to look for it because there's no such file. Okay? There's no such file. It's not on my desktop. It may be here in the download file. Now, you know what's going to happen tonight, don't you?
Yeah, man. You're going to get on the phone and you're going to start screaming at somebody, man. You're going to have a heart attack.
I'm not going to scream at anybody. I'm not going to scream at anybody. I'm going to write another email. And I'm going to say what I have said so many times before. And nobody will listen to it because it's just Henry, you know, getting upset again, even though it screws his show up and even though, you know. But nobody is going to tell us what to do. Why, we know what we're doing. You know, fine. Go ahead, man. It's like when a guy says to you, I tell you the sky is green and nobody but nobody is going to move me off of my position. What are you going to say?
Tell him the sky's blue.
You can't tell him the sky's blue. If you tell him the sky's blue, he says, no, it isn't. It's green. And there's nothing you can say that'll change my mind. Now, what do you do with a person like that?
Well, I mean, sooner or later, that guy's going to pay for being stupid.
Sooner or later, he's going to pay for being stupid. There you go, Robert. You're the man. You're the man. And I'm glad I have you around because you remind me of these simple truths.
I could have said that.
Well, you didn't. He did. You're absolutely right, Robert. Sooner or later, that guy's going to pay for being stupid. So why am I even trying to hurry the course of history here? I'll just sit and I'll live in it, man.
Yeah, man, that's all you can do is just live in it.
Jeez. Here's a great story. Speaking of things working the way they ought to work, officials at a small Northwest Missouri elementary school say they were stunned when a kindergarten student brought his mom's crack pipe and some drugs for show and tell. You know, there's so many of these stories, I don't believe them anymore.
Why not?
There's been too many of these stories about kids bringing their parents' drugs to school. And this is not the first show and tell story. There's something up with this. Unless drugs have even a more devastating effect than I thought they did.
You ever smoke crack? I bet you that's for the whole ring of crack.
It's probably crack. I don't know anything about crack. I've never smoked crack. I wouldn't want to smoke crack. I don't even like the name of crack. It sounds really bad. In the past, when I thought of the word crack, never mind. Anyway, it says here, the boys showed the items on September the 6th
at Sweet Springs Elementary School, located about 3 hours west of St. Louis, off of I-70, school officials called police. The boy's 32-year-old mother was arrested and is charged with possession of a controlled substance and child endangerment.
What's that?
Child endangerment, when you endanger a kid. Court records indicate that the teacher told police that the boy had the pipe and started to light up big rocks, saying what it is. No, he didn't. The court records say the teacher told police the boy had the pipe and several baggies of crack rocks. Officials say the drugs are worth about $3,700. Boy, that family's well off. Or maybe not so, I don't know. Is it a public school? Yes, it is. The officials say the drugs were worth $3,700. A family friend told KCTV 5 that the boy kid's bringing crack to school, bringing marijuana to school, bringing these illicit drugs. So obviously the illegal use of drugs. And a lot of people say, my God, people are just, you know, they're falling apart. The family's falling apart. I don't know whether the family's falling apart or not. We do have more people and we do have more people trying to medicate themselves, because when you boil, get right down to it, folks, that's what this is. I mean, anybody that risks really bad stuff to do something has got some kind of a control problem, you know. When it comes to this, they got a brain chemical problem. I will risk getting arrested to smoke crack. I will risk getting AIDS to have sex unprotected. There's something basically wrong there. Not that people haven't done it. I mean, not that some very responsible people have not done it. But so here's the thing with this. This is an example of a home where a person exists who needs help. And I'm not saying that I'm some touchy-feely liberal. I'm just telling you, man, I know how this problem is going to get solved. It's going to be solved by the right kind of pharmacology, the right kind of doctors, the right kind of pharmacology to get rid of this. Because there's just this ain't the first time I heard about a kid bringing drugs to school.
Are you sure?
I'm telling you, I'm absolutely sure.
What was that story?
Some kid brought a baggie of weed. He brought a baggie of weed for show and tell. I'm telling you, it ain't the first time I've heard this.
Maybe they're making this up.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have so many news gathering agencies, and we have so many news outlets, and we have... do you know that at one time... It's a very interesting story. I don't know if I have enough time to tell you. At one time in the history of this country, we had so many newspapers, so many, that they were literally making up the news. They were making it up, and they were selling newspapers based on made-up news because it was exciting, it was interesting, people wanted to read it. And then along came some newspaper, and they said, geez, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on that's true. Why don't we start printing that? And that helped with the competition. But there were so many bloody newspapers that even after they started printing real news, the competition was so high for readership, they started bagging on each other. They started lambasting each other. They started attacking each other, just the way today's cable channels do it. And they started, once again, making up the news. We've been there. We've been there before. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico each and every night. Boy, and I'll tell you, if you have a backstage pass to our show, the behind the scenes is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's a comedy of errors here as I sit and scream and yell and ultimately we just throw our hands up here, you know.
Yeah, that's not those guys' fault.
I'm not blaming my crew. Please, I'm not blaming my crew. My guys are just as in the dark as anybody. But the first guys that I talk to are my crew. All right, let's get off that. However, if you do want more of the behind-the-scenes, go behind the scenes. Get a backstage pass today. All right. USDA Secretary, Americans must learn to eat healthier food. Well, this is absolutely true. This is absolutely true. We eat garbage and we got to stop. We do. We eat garbage. We eat garbage.
Well, I mean, you can't say we all eat garbage.
I'm telling you, we eat garbage. Crap. As long as we're putting money into the pockets of the Wendy's guys and the McDonald's guys.
I bet you eat McDonald's.
I haven't had a McDonald's burger in at least 2 weeks. Now, I.
I knew it.
No, I haven't. I don't eat McDonald's. No, I do not.
Bill, I thought you eat Carl Jr.
Carl's Jr.? Oh, man, I'd rather take a sip out of every toilet at Dodger Stadium.
Oh!
Man, are you kidding me? I'm going to gag up on that one, man.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. Carl's Jr. I'll never forget I had a Carl's Jr. What the hell they call that? You know, I must be... of course, if Carl's Jr. was a sponsor, I'd like to say I love their hamburgers. But in any event, what was the sunrise sandwich?
Yeah, you said you got the runs.
Well, I was going to put it a little more delicately. But yeah, if the truth be told, that's exactly what happened. My guts felt like it was... They were doing those Carl's Jr. sunrise sandwiches were still intact, and they'd grown legs, and they were doing somersaults in my stomach. No, we eat garbage in this country, and it's a disgrace because we should eat much better. We have an abundance of food. God, thank God for our farmers. And they don't have the easiest lot in life either. Can you imagine if we started to have a food shortage, if we started to have problems with food the way we have problems with energy? Think about that, Mr. and Mrs. America. Problems with energy. Problems with this. Problems. Imagine if we ever had a shortage of food, as they have in other countries. Standing in line waiting for a loaf of bread, that hasn't happened in this country. Let's get our heads out of our asses and start appreciating some of the things we've got. And let's work towards solutions together and quit, you know, pretending like America is some toy that we it's like a soccer ball that we like to kick around because it's fun. And that it's always going to be full of air and daddy's always going to take us down to the sports shop and buy another soccer ball. And we're always going to have our ball to play with. Well, guess what, baby? No.
Gonna spring a leak.
You better believe it's gonna spring a leak. And daddy ain't gonna be there to fix it. I swear to God, sometimes we're like kids, you know? And I was watching this guy the other night. He was talking about this. It's something that I've believed for a long time. He says, we have this belief in the hyper-competent government. The hyper-competent government. We believe in the hyper-competent government. We actually do. For all the bellyaching that we have, that we do about the government, we believe that the government is so hyper-competent that it can solve any problem and that everything that happens on the face of the earth, we were aware of months before, and America's got a handle on all of it, and you just don't know, but the CIA has got this figured out, and it's all caused by us, and my God, we're just amazing. And if you tell people that they're loony to think that way, they think you're the chump, you know?
Yeah, they think they put a wool over your eye.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so what do they call? Oh, yeah, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. That's it. There you go.
Yeah, I saw you drinking the Kool-Aid.
Let me tell you who's drinking the Kool-Aid. You want to know? All these jackasses that tell you about black ops. And, Obama, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm telling you, you're like children. It ain't anything special. There's nothing going on here, folks. Like Chris Rock used to say, there's no champagne in the champagne room, baby. There is no champagne in the champagne room. It is what it freaking is. This country exists by virtue of what? The fact that previous generations had their stuff together enough to keep it going to this point. A lot of soldiers who've given their lives. A lot of people in civilian life who've given their lives to public service. Who've given their lives to inventing and creating and driving the engine of progress, which is our industry. And our ideas and whatever it is that, you know, makes America keep going. I mean, it's sweat, man. That's all. And to think that it's anything else, to think that there's some, just to put it the way Chris Wright, to think there's champagne in the champagne room, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, man. There's nothing going on here but a lot of really hard work that got us to this point, and we act like it's a game. You know?
Yeah, everybody's talking about how, you know, Obama this or give, just get a new president.
Well, I mean, they're all, yeah, that's the thing we were saying last night. You know, everybody sounds the same, man. I mean, I wonder if, and with no offense, honest to God, I don't mean any offense. I say this equally as true of the progressives, the Tea Party people, progressives. I got to laugh when those two sides start taking pot shots at each other, because they go back 4 years and the progressives sound exactly like the Tea Party people. And the Tea Party people sound exactly like the progressives. There's no change. There's no change in the tone or the tenor of the debate. There's certainly no change in the level of intelligence. But you got to laugh, man. You know, and the funniest thing is this. Yeah, I remember when it was all about Bush sucked, and if we just get a new president, everything's going to be fine. We get Obama, everything's going to be fantastic. Well, no, it isn't. So if we just get a new president, if it's Romney or if it's Perry, everything's going to be great. Well, you know as well as I do, no, it won't be. When are we going to get our heads out of our asses and grow up a little bit around here? Get out. Get a job, man.
That's what people used to say.
I like that.
Get that? Yeah, it sounds racist, though.
Oh, it sounds racist. What sounds racist?
Tell them black people go get a job.
I ain't talking to the black people. I'm talking to everybody. Go out and get a job.
Yeah, unemployment's high.
Oh, my ass. Unemployment's high. Okay, so unemployment's high, man. You going to let a number beat your ass? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to sit there and look at a piece of paper with a number written on it, and you're going to let that kick your ass for the day?
What are you talking about?
Everything. Just what I said.
Yeah, but it's almost 10%.
So what? Get out and get a damn job. Get out and get a damn job. Get a business going. Get something going. You got a million people out there letting a number on a piece of newspaper kick their ass on a daily basis. Bull crap.
What about the food they hear?
This is what I was talking about. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told members of the National Restaurant. Now, you see, if I endorse what this man is saying, the U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, and he happens to be an Obama administration cabinet member, that must mean I'm a liberal.
Yeah, well, you agree with it.
Oh, I see. But, you know, back off. I can't just say a guy's making sense. It's got to be, oh, well, see, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You must be a liberal. No, the guy's, he's making sense. Why can't we do, what is wrong? What is the crime with that? Are we that stupid? Honest to God, are we that stupid? I know we're not that stupid, but have we allowed those stupid people to take over, to hijack the debate to the point now where if you say, you know, Obama actually said something that made sense the other day, suddenly you're a liberal and you can't, there's no, absolutely no coming back from that, and there is no saving you. Your ass is a socialist, liberal, commie, pinko, you know what. Because a guy said something, wow, that guy's making some sense. You know, I actually think, you know, you can't express an opinion anymore in this country without people. It's the next best thing to having a freaking totalitarian government, if you want my honest opinion. And it ain't got nothing to do with the government. It's got to do with all these jackasses. Hey, who do we have coming up?
Yeah, Vernon Dozier.
Oh, Vernon Dozier in the next quarter hour. Okay. U.S. Secretary, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told members of the National Restaurant Association on Monday that Americans need to adjust their tastes so that they can like the kind of food the government believes they should eat. Now, this is from, who gave me this CNN? Would you please tell, what is wrong with people, man? This CNS is not a news gathering organization. CNS is a right-wing propaganda machine. Okay, I'm telling all of you people so that you get it finally once and for all. CNS is a right-wing propaganda machine. It's not Reuters, and Reuters is just about close to it. It's not AP. It is not a news agency. CNS is a propaganda arm. Here's another one. Israel has dumped 46% of its U.S. Treasury bills. I got to get these people squished. Fox News. Fox is not even a legitimate news-gathering agency anymore. Fox is a propaganda arm. CNN is a propaganda arm. All this stuff's getting thrown away.
Yeah, but he pulled that stuff.
I can't use it. Because the minute and this is a great example, guys. I was reading a story here about the agricultural secretary saying that you should eat better. And what did CNS do with it? You should eat the kind of food the government believes you should eat. Wait a second. How about this? You should eat healthy food. Or is that wrong? Is that a bad thing to say? Is that wrong? You remember when President Kennedy, you guys, you're too young. President Kennedy had the National Fitness Council. President Kennedy said, let's get fit. Now, if some of these jackballs were around then, they would have said, oh, I see, so we're supposed to do calisthenics and jumping jacks and run the way the government wants us to. No, how about you just stay fit, you fat slob? Eat the kind of food the government wants you to eat? No. How about eating the kind of food that'll keep your fat ass out of intensive care? Have you thought about that? Or are you gonna get upset and take it personally because somebody from the government said, eat healthier? You know, as we deal with this issue of reducing sodium and sugar, it sounds simple to do, but you all know better than I do, it's not as simple as it sounds. It's going to take time for people's taste to adjust, and it will adjust over time, but it'll take some time. So we have to make sure that what we do is create the appropriate transition. Now, this news agency, CNS, which has never, ever been a news-gathering agency, it's a propaganda arm, will go on to discredit this man's statements by saying that what he's trying to do is force the restaurant business into eating the food the government says, and it's a totalitarian takeover of business, and blah, 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 blah. Here's a guy just saying, hey, you know what? We need to eat better. We got heart disease. We're fatter than we've ever been. I don't know what to tell you guys. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, on our website, philhendryshow.com, we'll have our show log after the show. And coming up next, we got Vernon Dozier to talk about high school football and what's been going on in the world of high school football. That's next to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with us from Glendale is Vernon Dozier, the head football coach at Belmar Academy, and he's also the a member of the board there, as well as one of the prime teachers for the senior and junior classes in health and science and in math. And Vernon, good to have you with us. I know you just broke up a PTO meeting, right?
We had a PTO meeting here this evening, Phil. We had two, as a matter of fact, one for our middle school as well as one for our high school.
You have a middle school there too?
We do. We just opened it last year, and it's going pretty good. I think what we need, I think more than anything else, I think for a high school, the high school students, they want to feel as if they are in a high school and not back in grade school. So we need to keep the two. To keep the two facilities as separate as we possibly can. We want to keep the middle schoolers in their own, obviously in their own campus grid, and let the seniors have the run of theirs. And I think it's going to work out real good.
You are also the head football coach, and as such, you're involved with the school, I guess, 7 days a week, aren't you? I mean,
well, just about 6 days a week, yeah.
So you're there teaching classes. You're also after school, in practice, and then you have football games generally on Friday night.
Yeah, mostly Friday night, Phil. I think we have one Saturday night game because there was a conflict with the use of the field at Belmar. There was a soccer game that was scheduled, I think, and we couldn't do anything about it. But yeah, we're a 6 day a week, at least 6 days a week, man, and many times 7 days a week, especially with my coaches. But we enjoy it. I like it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it. And all I ask is that the school cooperate with us. As you mentioned, with our meeting tonight, we not only were dealing with our middle schoolers, but also dealing with the issue of the drill team, the cheerleaders, and how can we maximize the use of the extracurriculars to assist our football program, if it's our drill teams or our cheerleaders, whatever else it might be, the booster clubs that we have. To do that, and
are you meeting with success there?
Well, no, because as I brought up to them, and I think the most glaring thing that any head football coach has to deal with at the high school level is when you have cheerleaders, you have what's called a drill team, and
what's the difference between cheerleaders and a drill team?
I don't know. From my perfect honesty, I don't know.
Is it that a drill team is more acrobatic and expert?
It may be. It might have. I know the drill teams generally have young men on them, and they do a lot more of the somersaults and that kind of thing. Whereas cheerleaders are generally, and those that's really what I have my problem with. The cheerleaders are generally there as a way of just getting, you know, the crowd into it, and cheering, and they at the one point in the game, they will do a pyramid. And the way these girls do it is they will have a lower row of girls, I think about five girls, and they bend over, and the other girls stand on their backs, and then they do a pyramid. Now, the lower row of girls will turn and face the coaches and the team when they bend over, okay? And I have asked them, would you please not do that? And they have asked why. And that's, I've said, because it's distracting to the players. And the players apparently communicated to me and to the board that no, it wasn't. And I don't think they're being honest. And I think that, and...
Why don't you think they're being honest?
I don't think they're being honest because I think I can think back when I was a teenage boy and I saw a girl who is... you know, bent over, and I think that would be very distracting. These are young football players, and they're young men, and the girls turn purposefully and point. And when they bend over, they point it right back at us. And, excuse me, I'm on the phone. That's none of your business. I'm on the phone. There was a woman listening in. There was one of the mothers listening in. How do you like that? Boy, that... How do you like that, Phil? There was,
what happened?
There was a mother leaning in. She had her head leaned against the phone. That's none of your business. You think it's wrong? Let me explain something. Some of these women tonight at this meeting said that it was distracting me. They said that the reason why I had the problem with the girls bending over was because I had a problem with it. I don't have any problem with it, okay?
And was that the... Okay, hold on. The lady that was just overhearing...
The lady was just listening in. Yeah, that was one of the mothers, Mrs. Calhoun. I don't have a problem with girls bending over and sticking it right out at me. Do I? Okay, if you want my honest opinion, Mrs. Calhoun, I don't have a problem with it at all. If your daughter wants to bend over and stick it right back in my face, how dare you?
Well, Coach, that's no way for an adult man to talk.
Ow, God. Hold on, Phil. Oh, God, that hurt.
What'd you do?
I slammed the phone on. Oh. Phil, I understand that, Phil, but people are making some insinuations that are not fair. I said to them, would you have the cheerleaders, when they bend over to do the pyramid, if they want to show their rear ends to somebody, show them to the people in the stands, okay?
Well, that's fair enough, and isn't that what they're supposed to do?
That's exactly what they're supposed to do. But they turn and they face me, and they stick the butt right at me.
Now, see, you're saying me. Why are you saying me?
At them, I meant. I meant them, the players.
Yeah, but what, when you said me, what did you mean?
It didn't mean anything. I said them. They're sticking their butts at these boys that are young boys, that are young adolescent men, and they're going to be looking at this 15, 16, 17-year-old girl, you know, showing them. And so anyway... I said to this mother, and I want to be very clear, if you call me some kind of a pervert, that's between you and me, that's fine, okay, let's go, let's have at it. But when you bring it up in the middle of a PTO meeting, and I'm trying to desperately, desperately keep a football program alive, alive, and you're telling me that when those girls bend over and show me what you know they're showing me, what I know they're showing me, and you're telling me that I like it, and I'm a full-grown adult man, and they are underage girls, are you calling me a sick, twisted piece of garbage? Is that what you're doing? Huh?
No, I'm not doing...
Okay, then. Because that's what that woman, this Calhoun woman... Yeah, I'm talking about you.
How dare you?
How dare I? I didn't like her, Phil. She said, how dare I? How dare I? How dare you? Your daughter shoves it right in my face. Another thing, Phil, years ago.
Phil Hendry.